Good evening, everyone. I'm getting used to that. That sounds quite good. I should make my Bible workers back in Sydney say that to me every morning. Okay. The last couple of nights we've been looking at the fact that the Christian life is like a what? It's a marathon. It's something that we begin, and once we're in it, when do we get out? At the end. It's not just a sprint. It's not something we do for a week and then we go back and forget about it. It is something we do for life. And as we are all here today, we are making a decision for life. And if you haven't made a decision yet in your heart for life, then that's why you're here now. God brought you here to be able to have that opportunity. Without all the distractions of the things that are so often around us, here in this beautiful place with all these wonderful people, we can really think and know what God wants us to do. You know, I want you to turn in your Bibles with me tonight to the book of Hebrews, chapter 11. In your memorization time, you were learning about God's thoughts. And you learned that God's thoughts are too hard to understand, isn't that right? And they're so high that we can never reach and understand what they are, and so we just don't bother. We decide we'll just go and do our own thing instead, isn't that right? Thank you, Jasmine. At least someone knows what they're doing here. Okay. God's thoughts are high, higher than my thoughts, higher than your thoughts. You'll never fully understand God's thoughts. But should we ignore God's thoughts then? No. That means that we should know what God's thoughts are and we should follow what we do know of God's thoughts. Will we ever know all of God's thoughts?
No,
sir. No, that's right. So we must follow what we know. Hebrews chapter 11, and tonight I want us to look in verse 7. In verse 7, the Bible says, "By faith Noah, being warned of God of things that he had seen 100 times before, moved with fear." That doesn't say that in your Bible?
No, sir.
Is it the same in your boys? Does it not say that in your Bible either?
No, sir.
So you're telling me that Noah had never seen this before?
Yes, sir.
Okay, that makes it different, doesn't it? Here we have Noah being warned of God of things not seen as yet. Moved with what?
Fear.
Prepared an ark to the saving of his house, by the which he condemned the world and became heir of the righteousness which is by faith. So here we have Noah, a little bit older than most of us here, and he had never seen a flood. In fact, Noah had never seen rain. In fact, Noah had never seen what? A cloud. And yet God said, "You know, Noah, I've had it up to here with this world. I'm going to destroy it with a flood." And Noah's like, "A what?" He said, "I want you to build a really, really big boat. And we're going to put all these animals in it. And I want you to bring all these people in it. And I want you to save the world." And Noah's like, "What?" Did he understand God's thoughts?
No, sir.
Were God's thoughts too high for him? But what did he do? Did he say, "You know, go home to his wife, Mrs. Noah, and say, 'Mrs. Noah, I think God's gone crazy. I think what God is expecting from me is too much. How can he expect me to build a big boat? Everyone's going to think I'm nuts. How can he expect me to tell people there's going to be a flood? Nobody even knows what it is.'" But did he do it?
Yes, sir.
Noah moved with fear. You know, we often talk today about the fact that fear is a bad thing. You know, should you be scared of people? Like, should you be scared of Mr. Kim?
No.
Oh, a little bit of fear goes a long way, doesn't it? We don't need to be scared of God, isn't that right? Here the Bible says that Noah moved with fear. Now, was he scared of God? What was he scared of? What was he fearing?
The flood.
Noah recognized that when God said something, did he mean it? God never tells lies. You might tell lies, and I hope none of you here do, but often children... Sorry? Okay, everybody has told a lie, haven't they? But I hope all of you have stopped doing that.
Yes, sir.
But God never tells lies. Sometimes people will come and try and deceive you to do things that they want you to do. And they'll tell you things that aren't true in order to try and convince you to do something that you know is wrong. But you can never question God because you know that he never lies. He will never lie to you, he will never deceive you, and he will never ask you to do something that isn't for your best interest, regardless of what you think about it. See, Noah could have said, "You know, God, I like that idea, thank you, I'll get to it later. I'm busy making a career for myself right now. I've got, you know, all these children to raise. I've got all these people to do these things for. I'm going to build this big house. I'm going to have a great life. And when it's over and I'm old and crippled and I've got nothing else to do with myself, then I'll come and do your work. Then I'll do what you want me to do." He could have said that, couldn't he? As so many people in the world today do. But the Bible says that Noah moved with fear. Noah recognized that God never lies. God means exactly what he says. And so Noah says, "I fear that I won't keep up with God. I'd better get to it today." Right now, the very day God told him to work, Noah went to work. And do you think God told him too early? How long did he preach for? 120 years. Now, how many people here are 120? Okay, so now we know who lies in this congregation. Okay, today we saw a lot of people when we were doing literature evangelism that some of them looked like they were 120, okay? But we know they weren't. 120 is an awful long time to preach. Now, I've preached at campaigns and we'll preach for 5 weeks, five nights a week. That's a lot of preaching. I can't imagine then after that, when we finish a five-week campaign, we collapse, you know, in a heap and like, "Oh, I'm so glad for a break." Can you imagine preaching for 120 years and building an ark at the same time?
No, sir.
But Noah did it and he persevered and everybody thought he was a nut and people mocked him and thought he was crazy, but he still did it. Why? Because Noah didn't fear what other people thought. He didn't need all his friends to be happy with what he was doing. He didn't need their approval to be who he was. He was a servant of God. He did what God said. And he never questioned it. And when that 120 years was up and that door was closed, Noah was inside that ark. And everybody who was outside, who had once mocked him, who had once made fun of him, who had told him he was crazy for giving up all those things, for giving up his career, for giving up his place in the world, they perished in the waves of the flood. Friends, when you are thinking that the decisions you have to make, the sacrifices you have to make for Jesus are too much because of your place in the world or your friends or or the career you want or the money or whatever it is that you have in your head that you want, remember that in the big perspective, as Mrs. Everett said, the higher you get, the bigger your picture, but it's still not as high as God's. And when we try and remember that God sees the biggest picture, we recognize that this world will not last forever. One day you and I will come to the end of this world. And when that happens, where will we be? Will we be where God wants us to be so that he can find us? I'm going to tell you a little story. A short one. Now you all know where I come from. I come from a land down under, okay? That's what they say. And in our land down under, we have some very unique and interesting animals. We have emus. Has anyone ever seen an emu? Okay, wow, that's good. Okay, how about we have wombats? How many people here know what a wombat is? Okay, good. Good. And we have dingoes. Has anyone seen a dingo? Okay. Sorry? Real life dingo. A real life dingo. Okay, and we have the most commonly understood kangaroos. How many people here have ever seen a kangaroo? How many people here have ever patted a kangaroo? A few of you. Okay, good. Now, when I was growing up, we had a farm, and we had on that farm many kangaroos. Now, we didn't like them because they used to come and lie in our wheat. A mob of kangaroos, they come in your wheat crop, and they lie around and roll around in it, and then all your crop is down flat on the ground, and so when you bring the header through, what happens? You can't pick all that up, so we used to not like them. And they'd come in and eat all the grass, and then our sheep would have nothing to eat. So, you know, in Australia, we thought they were a bit of a pest, so we used to like to get rid of them. But the fact is, they are cute, and we used to like to catch them, the babies, the little joeys, and we would take them home and put a hessian bag on the wall, cut a slot in it about a foot up from the bottom, and we would put a sheepskin inside, and then we'd get a sweater, okay, which we call a jumper in Australia, and we would tie the arms up, and then we would hold it out, and the little joey would dive right in until you see his little feet and his little head sticking up, and then we'd put him in the little hessian bag and hang him on the wall in our bedrooms, and they'd sleep in there at nights. That was all really sweet, yeah, but... Okay, the story is that if you were a dingo or a wild dog or a fox and you were out chasing a mother kangaroo and she had in her pouch a joey, as you chase this mother kangaroo, she's bouncing along there and the fox or the dingo is catching her and she's running, jumping as fast as she can. After a little while, she decides, you know, if I didn't have this joey, I would run a lot faster. I would be able to jump so much faster. And so she says, I think I'll get rid of it. So she reaches in and she turfs it out the side. And off she goes, faster than ever. Isn't that horrible? You always thought kangaroos were nice. But they are not nice, you know. Now, let me tell you. Why would a mother kangaroo turf out her little baby? I mean, that just seems so cruel. That seems so awful. But she does it every time. Every time without fail. We used to chase them on our motorbikes, and they would do it every single time. But let's finish the story. What would little Joey do? Little Joey would be grabbed, you know, he's sitting there quite comfortable in his little pouch, and all of a sudden Mum reaches in, grabs him by the ankles and turfs him out the side. He's flying through the air, he hits the ground, rolls a few paces. Then what does he do? Sits there and says, oh, I wonder where Mum went. I think I'd better start looking for her. And so off he goes and gets lost in the wilderness. No, if he does that, he's got no brains. Any smart little Joey, as they hit the ground, they roll into a ball, and they sit very still. Very, very still. And Mum, now that she doesn't have Joey weighing her down anymore, she takes off in a huge circle. And by going in a large circle, and she can now go a lot faster, she gets away from whatever is chasing her, and as she comes around in that circle, she no longer has anything chasing her, and she comes around, where does she come to? She comes to Joey, who is faithfully doing what? Sitting still, exactly as he knows to do. And she finds him, she picks him up again, she stuffs him back in, and off she goes, and life is dandy. Okay. So this is what kangaroos do. Now, what has this got to do with Noah, Arks, and you? A lot more than you think. See, that little Joey could decide that Mum was a bit nuts and he's going to go off and make his own decisions. Isn't that right? And if he did, what would happen to him? He would get eaten by the next fox that came along, or he would not be able to find enough food or water, or he would stay out in the cold too long, or whatever it could be. So many hundreds of things could happen, or maybe some young farmer's child would come along and nab him. But you'd never know what could happen to this kangaroo. But if he does exactly as his mother tells him, even though he doesn't always understand, did he see the fox? No. Did he see the dog? No. But his mother said, sit and wait. He does what? He sits and waits. Did Noah understand what God was doing when he said, I'm going to bring a flood and I want you to build an ark? He didn't. And sometimes when we talk to our mothers, our fathers, our leaders, they tell us to do things and we think, you know, Mum, you're nuts. All my friends are doing, or I really would like to, or I think it would be better to. Have you ever said that to your mother and father? Don't answer this question. Just think about it. When I was your age, for some of you, a little bit older than some of you, I started to question what my parents were saying to me. Things that I'd always done since I was a little boy, I started to say, you know, I don't want to do this anymore. I want to be like my friends at school. Now, my mother and father used to just say, no, back in there. And I used to begrudge that. I used to think that was awful. And I used to get angry sometimes at my parents for withholding me from the things that I wanted to do. And it wasn't for many years in some places, in some cases, until I realized how wise my parents had been. And I was so thankful that I didn't have some of the baggage that some of my friends now have from things that they were allowed to do by their parents. So I'm wanting to tell you tonight that as we look at the example of Noah, he didn't always understand, but he trusted that God knew best. The little Joey doesn't always understand, but he trusts that his mother knows best and he does what he's told. And you might not always understand, but trust that your parents know what's best. They have studied more than you. They have experienced more than you. And they only want what's best for you. They want you to stand one day on the sea of glass. They want you one day to receive the crown of life. They want you one day to look before the throne of God at the beginning of eternity. And they want to be able to stand there with you and rejoice that you have eternal life. We need to learn that even though we think we're intelligent, even though we think we have lots of knowledge and experience, we haven't. For as God's thoughts are what? Higher than my thoughts. God's ways are higher than my ways. We all need to learn to submit. It's a word we all hate, isn't it? But we need to learn to do it. We need to learn to be like the Joey. And every time you're tempted to think you know better than Mum and Dad and that you should do it your own way, and if God says that you should keep the Sabbath, you think, oh, I couldn't be bothered. Why should I do that? If God tells you that you should give up certain things in your life because they're not good for you, and you think, oh, I couldn't be bothered. Remember, God knows what's best. And God will never lie to you. God will never lie to you. And you can trust him, not only here today, but tomorrow, and the next day, and the day after that, and the next week, and you can trust him into eternity. Young people, don't ever be so full of yourselves to think that you know more than God. Always remember that he loves you. He wants what's best for you. He has given all for you, and tonight he asks all from you. And he says, my son, my daughter, give me your heart. Let us pray. Father in heaven, tonight, we're so thankful that you love us. Again, we have no idea why. We have nothing to offer you. But yet you see in us something that we don't see. And you love us and you've given us your own son. Father, tonight we pray that you will help us to be like the Joey. That we will do as we are told regardless of whether we understand or not. Help us to know that we can trust you. Help us to know that you can get us through any experience, any circumstance, anything that comes up in our pathway, you can help us through. Father, for these young people tonight at their age, there is so much pressure to conform to the things of this world. Help them to know that friendship with the world counts for nothing if it means sacrifice of friendship with you. Please come into their midst. Please come into their hearts. Help them to know that you love them. And help us each one, day by day, to submit to you and trust you until the day you come and take us home. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.